translation, after 4,300,000 solar years, when Brahma awoke to create again by the will of the Lord, all the rishis like Maharishi, Angari, Atri, and so on, were created from the transcendental body of the Lord. And I also appeared along with them, purport by His divine grace. The duration of a day in the life of Brahma is 4,320,000 years, solar years, as stated also in the Bhagavad Gita. So for this period, Brahmaji rests in Yoganidra, within the body of Kadangashai Vishnu, the generator of Brahma. Thus after the sleeping period of Brahma, when there is again created by the will of the Lord, through the agency of Brahma, all the great rishis appeared from different parts of the transcendental body. Narada also appears. This means that Narada appears in the same transcendental body, just as a man awakes from sleep in the same body. Narada is eternally free to move in all parts of the transcendental and material creations of the Almighty. And he appears and disappears by his own transcendental, he appears and disappears in his own transcendental body, which is without distinction of body and soul and light conditioned beings. This is the first time I've looked at the purport here. Narada Muni is eternally is eternal, and it says in the purport, he's eternally free to move in all parts of the transcendental and material creations of the Almighty. So Narada Muni, as we all know, he served as a young boy with his mother, the Bhagavat, the great Bhagavatas. And because of his service, after leaving that body, he got this transcendental body. So similarly, when we leave our body, we know our body is made up of various gross material elements. But this body of Narada Muni is spiritual, so he can move around to the spiritual world to the material world. And as we know, that he can travel anywhere. He can be in Brahmaloka. He can be in. He can appear in the court of Kamsa. He can appear anywhere the eternal creation of the Lord and the material creation. So similarly, by practicing devotional service like Narada Muni did, performed. And if we served the Mahabhagavats, the Mahabhagavats, like he did, and we can also have in our next life, we can also get an eternal body, which is free from, which is not made of the gross material elements, and is not and which is not temporary like this body, because this body is temporary, we know. As soon as we take birth, this body takes birth in this material world, there's only one destination at the end of this life, and that is that this body will perish, but the soul will transmigrate into another body according to one's activities in this world. And Narada Muni performed his devotional service so perfectly that he was awarded this body of that he could move from all over the universe playing his veena, proclaiming the glories of the Lord. And his service was so perfect. Now, last night, well, we were dressing last night, and we were listening to Prabhupada's lecture, and he was actually talking about devotional service, and he was talking about pure devotional service. This is what Narada Muni had come to, that level of pure devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada was saying that pure devotional service means karma jama karma. I forget that verse he's speaking. It's from the Debatra Sindhu. Forget now. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, Abhilas Sunam Gyana Kavanablatam Anakaino Yukrishano Shilanam Bhaktutama. He said, this is pure devotional service. It has to be free from karma and jnana. So this means that pure devotional service, there has to be no desire. Prabhupada said there has to be no desire, not even no desire for liberation. He said, even if one desires liberation, that is not pure devotional service. It has to be free from karma mishra bhakti and jnana mishra bhakti. And if there's any desires, material desires, he said, even spiritual desires, he said, any spiritual aspirations for ourselves, is not pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means just for the pleasure of Sri Guru and Gauranga, and Lord Krishna, without any motivation. And if there's any desires, they have to be eradicated somehow or other. And This is actually done by serving the pure devotee. Now, the pure devotee, or the Uttama Bhakta, Uttama Guru, first-class devotee, the pure devotee, he said, and Prabhupada was also saying previously, that by serving the pure devotee, that he will, that pure devotee will engage us in services that will purify us from all material desires. So, and it's not that the disciple can do whatever they want. No, he says, Prabhupada also said that, he said a disciple means they do what Guru instructs, not what they want. Otherwise, he is not disciple and he is not surrendered. And so therefore, Sri Guru, Sadguru, is eternally liberated soul, just like Narada Muni here. So you could say Narada Muni is one of our gurus, showing by example how to perform pure devotional service, because the spiritual master, the Sri Guru, he shows also by example how to perform service. And I don't know how many were here for Bhaktivinoda Maharaj's Vyasa Puja the other week, on Monday 17th. And this is an example of how the spiritual master shows by example. When I was once traveling with Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, we were in Durban, and have you ever seen that temple? It's like a flying saucer. And so it was just after the 4-day Rathyatra festival in Durban, which is over the Easter weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday on Durban Beach. So Monday was a Maha cleanup of the temple. So I was given the service of cleaning the guest room. And the guest room, there's a corridor that leads to the back of Sri Sri Radhanath's altar, it leads up to the back way, up to the deity kitchen. So I was cleaning there, and I saw one young boy in Bhakta cleaning the stairs. And I can see he wasn't really into it. Then, as I was cleaning the windows, I heard this voice, which I recognized. It was Bhakti Sri Maharaj, and he says, "This is how you clean. This is how you clean the steps." And I looked out from the door. I can see him rolling up his sleeves, putting his hand in the bucket and showing him and cleaning the steps himself. He said, "This is how you clean the steps properly." So I thought, now this is a person who's a devotee. He's a GBC, co-GBC at that time with Giriraj Swami, and a spiritual master and a GBC, and he's on his hands and knees, showing how service should be done. And so spiritual master, he shows by example how to perform service. And so therefore, we have to follow the example of our spiritual masters, and we also have to perform pure devotional service. We have to come to that level, platform of performing devotional, pure devotional service, free from all material desires and destinations, or free from any material gains we can get from it. And therefore, we will get an eternal body like Narada Muni's, where we can engage in devotional service at the end of this life. At the end of this life, we can engage in service and enter the spiritual world and go back to Godhead. But what's the Mataji's name? Devaki Mataji said, it's not easy to go back to Godhead. We have to come to this platform, and the scriptures describe, the acharyas describe, that for the devotee who leaves their body in the proper way, in the thinking of Krishna, that they don't immediately go back to Goloka Vrindavan. The acharyas describe that they enter a universe where Krishna is performing his manifested pastimes. We know that Krishna in Vrindavan, in the Bhagavatam, is his manifested pastimes, 10th canto. In the 10th canto, we read all about his pastimes. These are the manifested pastimes. And in Goloka Vrindavan, he performs unmanifested pastimes, and this is described in Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami, that in Goloka Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna are sitting on a throne, and all the eternal associates are with them. Narada, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and all the eternal associates of Vrindavan are also standing there. And they're also hearing narrations of Krishna's pastimes, Radha and Krishna's pastimes, in what we know as Bhumi Vrindavan. They are narrated by two poets. I forget their names now. And they're actually singing these pastimes. So therefore, Nanda Maharaj, he asks these two singers, pardon me, you're singing so nicely about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. He says, yes. He says, how do you know all these pastimes? He said, that he would say that when Krishna went through the, in the two Arjun trees. We were Nalakavira and Kavira in Krishna Leela. Because as we were cursed by Narada, but that curse turned out to be a blessing because we could see all of Krishna's pastimes. And so when Krishna came with the grinding mortar and liberated us, we actually came. We came here. We came to Goloka Vrindavan. We appeared in a family that is we appeared in a family of one of Krishna's eternal associates. And so therefore we can narrate Krishna's pastimes. So if we leave our body with the right consciousness, we can enter another universe where Krishna is eternally is performing his manifest pastimes. And then once we've been trained up by one of the associates in that universe, once we're qualified, then we will go back to Goloka Vrindavan. But that all depends, you can say, on the who we actually are worshipping. Because we, in our line, we are actually Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Prabhupada was also saying the other night. We are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they worship Radha and Krishna only. And Gaunitaya, of course. Those who worship Ram, the Isadevs, Ram or Lord Nisringadev, they go to, those who worship Ram, they go to Vaikuntha, Ayodhya. Because the mood, the difference between the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and the mood is different. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they worship Radha Krishna in the mood of spontaneous love. And they have some rasa with Krishna. Now, all of us have some rasa, everyone. Everyone in this room has a rasa. But unfortunately, our rasa is being misused. Instead of having a taste for Krishna, we have a taste for material things. So everyone has rasa. It's just been misused, and therefore we have a rasa for our own material desires, our own happiness, and this material body to think with this material body and enjoy this material body for our own benefit. But if one has a full spiritual rasa, in our spiritual relationship with Krishna, we will not think about ourselves. We will just think of how to serve Krishna and Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. And then when we come to that level, we can enter the spiritual. We can enter the spiritual realm, even in this lifetime, even in this body. Prabhupada said, I heard the other day as well, we can enter even the spiritual realm within this, even within this material body. Internally, we can enter, he said. But to get out of, but to come to the spiritual realm, we have to remember one thing. It is that we cannot leave this material world without the mercy of that pure devotee, because we are Kripa Siddhas. We are depending on the mercy of the spiritual master. Everything we do in our service, everything we do is in our service, depends, we have to depend on the mercy of the spiritual master. And it's described that in Goloka Vrindavan, there's a prema lata beach coming from the spiritual world down to the well of the material world. The well, this material world is described as a well, and we're stuck in the well, and the spiritual master is on top of the, he's on top of the well outside, and he's lowering down this Premalata beach, and that Premalata beach is the mercy of Krishna, and the pure devotee is lowering this Kripa down. To get out of this material world, all we have to do is just to hold on. Just hold on tightly to that Kripa. Nothing else. Just hold on to that mercy, and the pure devotee, the spiritual master, will take us out of this material world. And then when we're out of the material world, we again by the mercy we can enter into the spiritual world. So everything depends, on one sense, on the mercy of the spiritual master and the spiritual master himself. Because he's the spiritual master. He's the manifestation of Krishna. He's a manifestation in the sense that he's the manifestation. Krishna's in the heart as the super soul, as the Chaita Guru. So Krishna, he sends the spiritual master. Because we cannot approach Krishna directly, we have to go through somebody who's very close to the Krishna. Just like if we want to approach a very important person, the Prime Minister or somebody like that, and we have to go through the secretary. So if you want to approach the Prime Minister, we can't directly approach. We have to go through the Prime Minister's secretary. Please, can I see the Prime Minister? We just can't bang on the door of 10 Downing Street and demand to see the Prime Minister. No, you have to make some sort of, there's a process. So we have to follow the process and go through the parampara, the Guru Bhagya, and the spiritual master. So then, by then, we can attain a spiritual body that is eternally free to move. To move and serve in the spiritual world. But this is achieved again by the mercy of the Guru, and also to by the accumulated bhakti we have from past previous lives. Bhakti, mukti, sukriti. This is why sometimes devotees who join the temple who start spiritual life, they seem to be advanced very quickly because they had, in some past life, they were performing devotional service, but somehow they didn't quite make it, and they just carry on where they left off. So we have to hold on to the mercy of the spiritual master and have full faith in the spiritual master, serve him, surrender unto him, and submissively hear from him. And in that way, when the spiritual master sees us, we're qualified, he will reveal to us the eternal, the absolute truth, because that spiritual master himself is a tattva darshini. He has seen the truth himself. So we have to serve the spiritual master nicely, not do our own independent thing, and then our life will be successful. So I do apologize for anything I've said wrong, any misunderstanding or correct. Is anyone free to correct or questions?